This episode of To the Journey is brought to you by TrekFan. TrekFan isn't just a Star Trek fan club, it's a challenge. You will explore new places, learn new things, and collaborate with other fans to solve puzzles, complete real-life mission objectives, and win great prizes. To face your first challenge and to find out more, head on over to TrekFan.org.
You're listening to Trek FM.
Maybe it's not the destination that matters. Maybe it's the journey.
To the journey.
Hello, everybody at home. This is To the Journey.
To the Journey!
I am your co-host, Tristan Rendell, and with me, as always, is...
Charlene Schmidt and...
Lori Sears.
We're back!
Yeah!
That's right!
Back from shore leave!
We are back. We all had a fantastic shore leave, but it's good to be back and have our nose to the grindstone and be back on the bridge.
Back
so
at it.
Mm-hmm. I'm pretty excited about tonight's episode. I think we've only done this once before, and so I'm glad that we're doing it again, because tonight we are going to be quote-unquote rewriting the episode Fury. Now, for those of you who don't remember Fury, you might be remembering the anger you had towards this episode.
I certainly did.
It was the 23rd episode of the 6th season. It's the episode, the infamous, and I use that word correctly, the infamous episode where Kes came back. Yes, we all remember that one. Mm-hmm. Everybody was so excited when they saw Kes on the screen, like, oh, Kes is back. This is crazy. This is what everybody wanted. And then, poo.
Splat.
It fell flat on its face. And let's give a brief synopsis real quick. Okay, so they see Janeway and the crew of the Intrepid Starship Voyager sees Kes and coming up on the view screen, and she's like, oh, Captain, I need help. And she's all hurt, apparently. And so they beam her aboard.
And old.
Oh, yes, and old. That's right. Yes, and old. Gray-haired, wrinkly, and she crashes into the ship with her little ship. And then we see her just walking through the hall slowly and just, like, all BA and has, like, everything's just exploding around her because of psychokinetic powers. And she uses the warp core to transport herself back in time a couple of years when Kes was actually still on Voyager, and she kills B'Lon in the process. Oh, no! B'Lon's really dead!
You said that so sincerely. Yeah. Yeah.
Believable, yeah.
Yeah, we all thought it was really going to be permanent, but...
Yeah, exactly.
And so she transforms herself back to look like her younger self, and then knocks her younger self out and takes her place, and she forgets where she came from. She had some sort of amnesia where she thought that she didn't leave on her own free will, but that she was actually a prisoner on Voyager, and that Janeway took her prisoner and took her from her people, the Okompans. And so she contacts the Vidians and says, listen, I will give you lots of healthy people for organ harvesting if you take me and my younger self back to Okompa. And so the Vidians attack, but then Janeway figures out what's happening and that there's actually two Kesses, and then tries to convince older Kes, hey, listen, no, we loved you. You were a part of our crew. You're just forgot. You were in temporal psychosis space too long or something. They didn't even say that. It was they didn't even explain the amnesia. I'm explaining it better than the episode did.
Yeah, I really figured it was space Alzheimer's, as Lori and I were talking on the other side of the room. Yeah.
That's awesome. That is the name of the episode, Space Alzheimer's.
boom.
And so, but Janeway's unable to convince older Kes of this, and it ends up killing older Kes, and then says to Tuvok, okay, we can't tell anybody what happened, and so we're just going to have to prepare for this. And so flash forward to present day, and then the whole thing happens all over again, but by the time that older Kes gets to engineering to kill B'Elanna and then go back in time, she's interrupted by extra shielding and a holographic message of her older self saying, remember who you are. And then Kes is like, oh, okay. All
right,
cool.
Oh,
I guess I am.
Yeah, that's right.
I guess you guys were nice to me all along. So, and end of episode. And she just leaves and goes on her way.
Yeah.
That burning sensation in the back of your brain means that you're still alive and that you're human and that you're angry about this episode.
Is that weird buzzing sound?
That's that ringing, like you feel like you might have tinnitus, and so it's just like, ah!
Okay, so it's not that. Okay.
That's the thinking part of your brain telling you, this is so stupid!
Gee, it hurts.
You may be asking yourself, to the Journey crew, why this episode? There's plenty of bad Voyager episodes. Why pick this one? Well, we think that this was a fantastic premise that went sour.
Boom.
And it's not just your normal run-of-the-mill bad episode that every single Star Trek series has. It's just this was a fantastic idea that was poorly executed. And so what we're going to talk about is how we would have done it individually. Not as the Two to Journey crew, but as me, Tristan, and you, Char, and you, Lori. But first off, I want to talk about first reactions, what we liked about it, what we didn't. So, Char, how about you hit us first?
Okay. Well, you know what? I really liked this episode until we see Kes. Which is all of about 2 minutes. Okay, again, as we were talking, Lori, on the other side of the room, it is a little strange and moronic that Janeway doesn't know when Tuvok's birthday is. But, okay, I can go along with this because it's a really cute scene. You think Tuvok's in big trouble for something and we don't know what, and lo and behold, she actually manages to replicate a birthday cake without ruining it. And it's his birthday! Aww! And we haven't seen many touching moments between these two in a long time.
Yeah.
So this was welcome and refreshing. From here on out, well, gets a little rocky. I'd say the other thing that I like in this episode is kind of the way they executed the time travel, the season one version of the crew. I felt like they did a pretty decent job of replicating that. Things like the doctor not being able to leave sickbay. Mm-hmm. And then he's considering names. The hairstyles are pretty accurate, except with the exception... Tristan, you're smiling.
Yeah.
With the exception of Chakotay, because he's still got the really dark jet black hair going.
Yes. Yes. Whereas... Why didn't... I remember that. I was like, come on, you are aware of what people look like. Just pepper
yeah,
it a little
on.
Bit.
Give
us the peppered
pepper
XO
back.
Again.
Hair paint.
Yeah, exactly.
Hair
exactly.
Paint. Yeah.
And the whole thing with Ensign Wildman was really nice, too, where we find out she did know she was pregnant very early on, but didn't tell Janeway until, what, season two?
Something like that, yeah.
I guess because she was pregnant for a year and a half. She had time.
Yeah.
So,
and they explained
right.
that, too. He
that's true. That's
that.
True.
Yes.
It took 5 years, or almost 6 years, for them to explain the extra long pregnancy.
Yeah. Right. But they got there, eventually. Yeah. So... I did like those elements of it, but the whole thing with Kes really, oh boy. But we're talking about things that we like, so
oh,
that's
no.
what I liked.
Well, you can transition into what you didn't like.
Okay, so what does not work is Kes and her anger, because that's not Kes.
No, not at
no.
all.
I mean, even Alzheimer's Kes, I think, would not really be angry. She would just be confused and lost. But she'd be very quiet and meek about it. Like, where did I put my biscuits? You know. I don't know. But, okay, so this does not work for me at all. And the fact that she blames Voyager for holding her hostage, I mean, it just doesn't make any sense. Because that's not at all how it happened. And why she believes this, we don't really know or understand.
And they never explained it.
No.
And then the way it wraps up is so incredibly stupid. It's just, oh, now I remember. It's so weak.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Ugh.
It was.
So it really feels so pointless. And if you're going to bring Kes back, make it freaking epic, man.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, the only thing that I can think about, like, that was epic was that shot of her walking down the hallway and everything
mm-hmm.
exploding behind her.
Okay, but yeah.
I remember
that was awesome.
I remember seeing that live, though, and I saw it with my parents, and my parents were like, what is going on? No, that is not Kes. Kes would not do that.
Right?
Like, they were more upset than I was, but okay, Lori, go for it.
I think what I liked is pretty much what you just said, but you can sum it up in 2 words, special effects. That was
yeah.
really the
yes.
only thing that made me go, okay, this is cool. that thing with the Vidian hook, and they had to swing the ship back and forth to finally knock it loose, and then, like, blam, explosion. And yeah. then she was, like, channeling Carrie walking down the corridor, and everything's exploding behind her. Do you know what I mean, Carrie?
Yeah.
Okay, whatever. Anyway.
Yeah, no, I knew what you meant. Yeah.
You are like, yeah. Okay,
like, some of us probably were thinking, like, you mean Lieutenant Carrie, the guy who died?
Yeah, yeah, okay, like... horror movie Carrie with like
horror movie Carrie,
just
yeah.
going crazy yes. all around. And I love that. That was cool. But like everything you named, Char, was so wrong with this episode. Just craziness. Like, let's time travel through the warp core. Let's just shoot people because we feel like it. That doesn't even make sense. The whole yeah. thing, the time travel thing just went, huh? What? I don't get it.
Yeah.
It made no sense. But, yeah, that's me in a nutshell right there.
Okay, well, I believe we're all on the same page because I really like the special effects. I like the action. I like the idea of Kes coming back. I loved when that homage to Star Trek VI when Chakotay is like, well, then tear it apart, you know?
Yeah, that was yes, cool. I'd forgotten about that. That was yeah. great.
And then it was so reminiscent of Sulu going, then fly her apart then.
Right.
And I kind of made Sulu into Batman. I don't know why. but
you could like, do Sulu as Arnold.
Oh, jeez. I don't even know how to. No, I'm not even going to attempt that. I don't
Aww.
Even,
yeah.
It's
okay.
like, oh, my. No, see, it's just. I can't even.
It doesn't
even,
work, does
no.
it?
No. Sorry,
okay,
guys.
Okay, never mind. Bad idea.
But yeah, no, it was. I loved the action in the episode. I loved. I thought the acting was good. I loved the little cutesy moment at the beginning, even though Janeway got his birthday wrong. but maybe she was going by Vulcan years. I don't know. But yeah, like there were so many great little moments, and I like the nostalgia of going back to season one and everything like that. It's just I didn't like the time travel premise because it's just everybody looks so different. I mean, Jennifer Lean was a little bit heavier. Now, I'm not saying she didn't look good. She's just a little bit heavier than what she was. She hadn't been on right. television for 5 years.
Yeah, she does not look the same.
She's
she doesn't
look the same. And that,
you have
and that's
to look
fine.
Past that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And you have to look past that. Chakotay didn't have the peppered hair. Janeway's bun, you can never get quite right. And
it wasn't the wig. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
Pretty sure they used her real hair this time because it was really loose and it was not the same bun.
Yeah, I think they augmented it or something with pieces, but...
Yeah, not working.
It was like, and also Kate Mulgrew is a little bit heavier. Now, granted, she's still rail thin, but you know, yeah. your body changes as, you know, time goes on. That's just how it is.
Yeah, we all do it.
Yeah, we all do it. And so I am not criticizing anybody for gaining weight or changing body. It's just, it's hard to do a time travel episode when everybody looks different. It's mm-hmm. just how it is.
Yeah.
And so I think it detracts from the, you know, I know there needs to be a state of disbelief. I mean, and I'm all for that. But I felt like there could have been so many different ways to have Kes come back and not need time travel. So that was my biggest gripe. But we're about almost 15 minutes into the episode, and I am aching to hear what everybody would do differently now that we talked about what we liked and what we didn't. So, Lori, can you enlighten us on how you would improve this episode?
Well, I was curious when she left in The Gift. What did she evolve into? You know, she was like that guy in the TNG episode that was phasing in and phasing out. What was going on with that? I would have liked to have seen her do something with that. Maybe go back to where that space, that last station of Ocampo were and maybe be with them. Because I'm sure if she was going through this, something was going on with the rest of them, because if it was her, it had to be the rest of them. And I wanted to see something happen with all the medical knowledge she had acquired. So maybe she did something to help the people that were around them. I don't know. I wanted to maybe see something happen to her with a family. But really, the biggest idea that I had, that was just like stuff I was throwing out there. But the biggest idea that I had is I wanted really to see something between her and the doctor. Because that was, to me, that was the best part of when she was on Voyager to begin with. That relationship that they had. So my idea, I don't know if it's epic, but my idea was that she shows up with him and he's having some sort of, I can't ever say this word correctly,
existential crisis.
Thank you. I cannot.
Who does she show up with?
She's there with the doctor. We see her with the doctor. It's like, I don't know. Okay. It just starts and we don't know what's going on. And
okay. So she's just on the ship.
She's just there on the ship with him and he's going through whatever he's going through. And I don't know. I couldn't think of a really good plot, a lot of plot points to go on, but maybe include all the things I named before. And then, but then at the end, we see him leaving the holodeck and it was all his holodeck program he was running.
Oh,
and it was
brutal. You pulled a Dallas.
Oh, yeah.
You pulled a Star Trek Dallas where, oh, it was just the holodeck.
Yeah.
Gotcha.
So,
no, okay. No, but oh, no. We shouldn't. No. That's cool. Okay. No.
well, see, I wanted to throw it out there because I knew you guys would be like, so do this.
Actually, you know, I really like this idea because, granted, you know, you hear that a lot. You see that a lot. Like, oh, it was all just a dream. You see it in movies. You see it in TV. And really, the only one that I really appreciated was probably Bob Newhart, which could be the most famous example of an entire series being just a dream. And it was really his other show. And yeah, yes, it was cool. Like, for those of you who are too young to know that, I mean, technically, I'm too young to know that. But, you know, I'm obsessed with TV. So go back and research Bob Newhart. It was all just a dream. And then that'll show you how it's done. But Lori, your idea, like having the doctor go through some sort of crisis or, you know, a crisis of conscience, and he keeps going back to, like, all throughout the episode, it just proceeds normally. You know, it's just a normal episode, but we see Kes in the medical bay with him,
yeah.
But nobody else. The scenes are only the doctor and Kes. It's never the doctor, Kes, and Janeway, or the doctor, Kes, and Neelix. It's only just Neelix, it's only just Kes and the doctor. And so, like, she helps him out with whatever conundrum he has, whether it's about himself or with a patient or with what he should do next. And
idea.
Then he at the end of the episode, he says, like, end program. And we realize, oh, that's why we kept seeing Kes, because
it's not real.
You know,
it was a
it's not real. Char, what were you saying?
I'm thinking, what if you combined this idea with latent image? Where the doctor has this existential crisis and he just doesn't know what to do with himself. He has to deal with some very harsh reality and it's just blowing his mind.
Yeah, something like
that. So then
like
he
that.
Calls up a holographic Kes to kind of ease him through it because her wonderful soothing heart can comfort him and help him sort through it.
Yeah, because she was the de facto counselor anyway.
Yeah.
She was.
I feel like that was my only reservation was latent image. The whole existential crisis of the doctor. I feel like maybe you might need, because Latent Image was season 5 and this is season 6, like if we kept the timeline, you might have to do a different character than the doctor.
Yeah.
But I don't know. I like, or do something other than an existential crisis, like
well,
do something
no, what
where
I'm
it's
thinking,
a,
this could be like, let's say they actually plan this out. They could have this as a follow-up to Latent Image or just replace Latent Image with this episode and we find out what happens in Latent Image in this scenario.
Okay. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's kind of what I was getting at.
I think, Lori, I think that's a great premise, and I feel like the episode would be real. All the events would be real, but just his interaction with Kes never actually happened. I mean, it happened, but it was just a hologram.
And she gets to keep her dignity as a character and not look like a total psychotic freak. So there you go.
Yes. That is something that really disappointed me about this episode was the gift was a decent enough send-off.
Yes.
And so if they wanted to leave it be, I was absolutely fine with that. So that if you're going to make Kes come back, really complete her arc and let her go with some dignity. This did not cut it. So I have an idea for how I think they could have done this.
Go ahead.
So what I think is they should have connected, well, it's not a loose end with Kes, but I was going to say two loose ends. The loose end is the Okampan homeworld, because we know from Caretaker that he left them with 5 years of energy reserves. Well, those 5 years are up now.
Oh.
And what if they're having a really hard time just surviving and getting by on the Okampan homeworld? things are really bad. Even though they've had time to prepare, it's not been enough. I mean, they've really not had to do anything for themselves for so many years. They're having trouble. So you bring Kes to Voyager because she knows that Voyager will help them, and she needs help getting to Ocampa. Mm-hmm. And how this happens, this is kind of where it gets a little foggy in my head. I mean, you could include the time travel, where she wants to go back to when Voyager is just in the Delta Quadrant and they're at Ocampa. Mm-hmm. She could go back and then see her way through there. And she can do that through the warp core like she did in Fury, so be it. And then the twist would be, of course, she has to do all of this without getting caught by the Season 1 crew. And, of course, that doesn't happen because you've got to have a twist in there. And so you can have some intricacies of that and then making it happen and all that fun stuff. But Kes wants to go back to not only help rebuild her home world, but also to help them regain their telepathic abilities, because she's learned so much. Mm-hmm. In the 3 years since she left Voyager, she really thinks that she can advance her race.
Yeah, I like that. And you do. And it would be good to find out what happened to them.
Yeah, and I mean, okay, this makes Kes the hero.
Mm-hmm.
This makes Kes realistic in her character, and it kind of completes an arc, makes it all come full circle.
So she goes back in time to Caretaker.
Well, here's the thing. Maybe here's a twist. She intends to go back to the Caretaker time because that would be the easiest way to stop, right?
Mm-hmm.
What if something does mm-hmm. go wrong and she ends up in the Season 1 Voyager, where she's, what, 58 days out of Voyager's journey and then has to find a way out to get to Ocampa? That could be a twist right there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
If you're going to include the time travel aspect, and really, honestly, I could take it or leave it. But if you only want to change so many elements of the story, you could keep that and implement this story. Or not. Tristan, you're giving me a look.
Well, no, I'm just trying to work it out. I'm not saying it's a bad idea. I'm just trying to work it out, just trying to work out the details of, you know, if you want to keep the time travel aspect, she goes back to character time. If it's past character time, but she wants to go help the Ocampans, you still need to keep the Voyager crew in the story.
Yeah.
And so would you really want the Voyager crew to backtrack 2 months to get back to, like, if it's 58 days, you know, or, and if you go back to Caretaker time before the array was destroyed, Kes was only on the ship for a very small amount of time before,
right,
you know, everything went down.
Yeah, this would be maybe older Kes, though, almost hijacking off the ship, stealing a shuttle or something to get herself down there. But, of course, she is going to get caught.
Now, couldn't she, though, if she's got this humongous brain power or whatever, she sent Voyager, like, 10,000 light years into the future.
That's true.
Couldn't she take her own little shuttle and send it all the way back herself?
Well, you think she would have done that in the first place in Fury then, right?
Right, right.
So apparently she needs the tachyon particles or something to make herself move that far back. I don't know, guys. I don't know.
Science!
I feel like this might work. I feel like this idea could work if we kind of played it like Back to the Future Part 2.
Where I think I know where you're going with this.
Marty goes back in time a second time to 1985. And I'm sorry, to 1955, and Marty sees the other Marty who was there in 1955. And so we have this cool composite thing where we have two Marty McFlys trying not to interact with each mm-hmm. other.
Yes.
And
yes.
And so, like, with that in mind, so that way, because if old Kes is there, she keeps trying to run around the ship, and maybe she disguises herself as just a crewman and puts on a Starfleet uniform. And so while everything is going on around Caretaker and young Kes is still on Ocampa and everything's going on, she's going throughout the ship trying to make it so that the Caretaker array doesn't get destroyed, so that her people will survive. But I feel like at the end of the episode, you can't let her succeed. I feel like the timeline has to stay intact.
Well, right. And you have to let the Caretaker die.
Yeah, you have to. Well, the caretaker is going to die no matter what, but I feel like the array has to be destroyed because we're talking about the genesis of Voyager.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. So you really can't mess with that. I think you just mess with Ocampa.
Okay, so she finds a way to not save the array, but at least let the Ocampa know what's going to happen so that they can live their lives differently and saying, like, you cannot rely on this energy.
Exactly.
You need to move on.
You've got 5 years. Let's start rebuilding.
And here is spacefaring technology. Figure out how to use it. You have 5 years to transport your people.
Right.
Someplace else or something
but
like that. Like, she gives them warp capability.
She would still be there with them to assist them and help them. She wouldn't just say, oh, here you go, and then leave.
Okay.
Or somehow she could hook them up with the other Ocampa who were already way far away from their home world.
Oh, you mean like...
the dudes that were
Suspiria
with Suspiria.
And...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Those dudes were evil, though. Why would she go back
were
to them?
Were they all evil, or was it just that one creepy dude?
I think they were kind of a brotherhood deal.
Right.
Because we never... No, okay.
Yeah, I don't think Kes would ever, like, trust those guys again.
Yeah, I don't think so. Not after she blew up the Aeroponics Bay.
Well, that's true. That's true.
Yeah, I think that could work, Char.
Well,
yeah.
Okay, it's the basic elements of what I think could work into a story if we were in a writer's room and hacked it out and got the details under more control. We could make something of it. Fury. Sigh. I don't know. I came up with the idea of connecting it back to Ocampa and said, yes, that is it. That's what they should have done. Because if you are going to have Kes come back, you really, you got to make it special. You have to have it make sense. And it needs to be important to her and the Voyager story.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, it's kind of pointless.
Which this episode was.
Yeah.
So there we have it.
It didn't matter whatsoever. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay. Well, I guess it's my turn.
It is. Fire away.
Okay. So I like you, Char, was torn between keeping the theme of Fury. You know, like Lori, I like your idea of going in a completely different direction, but keeping Kes or like bringing Jennifer Lean back on. Like, I like that idea a lot. I toiled with that idea, but Char, I think I went in more your direction. Like, let's keep maybe somewhat of the same structure. Maybe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe.
But with mine, I threw time travel out the window. I was like, no, we're not doing the time travel thing for the reasons I stated earlier in the episode. So my idea is Voyager's trouncing around, and we keep the whole birthday thing at the beginning, and so Harry detects something, like you do, you know, like there's some sort of spatial anomaly, like Voyager does best.
Oh yeah, every day.
And so they go to a small moon, and there was some sort of explosion or something that just reacted in the realm of their sensors, and so they go to check it out. And it's Kes. Kes is on this remote colony by herself. And so they're like, holy crap. Now she looks different than the Kes in Fury. Like, she's older. She's much older. She has gray and everything like that. But she doesn't look so angry. And she remembers everybody. She remembers, like, the amnesia thing is gone. She completely understands her past. She's nice to everybody. And she's like, oh my gosh, you can help me. Like, thank you so much for finding me. I need your help. And what happens is it's a somewhat continuation of her not being able to control her powers. And so while she's on the starship, like, she started, like Tuvok is like, okay, the whole crew is like, you know, help us figure out what happened. Why are you alone in this moon? And then we have these series of flashbacks, which I like. I know not everybody likes flashbacks, but I do. So what happens is that while for a couple of years she was existing and not existing, like she was going throughout the galaxy as just pure consciousness. But the thing is, she did not have the ability to keep it in check. She ascended to a higher realm too quickly without the proper abilities.
Boom.
And she says, you know, Tuvok, you were a great teacher and you got me this far, but I needed my own people to help me out. And when I fell back into physical presence, I was, you know, I just, I was searching for someone like me to help me out with my powers. And then she finds either, I don't know if it's another Okampan or another telepath who's going through the same issues. And alone, they're dangerous. They're destructive. Mm. But together, they can help keep each other's telepathic powers in check. Like, together, they are able to exist peacefully and not destroy anything else or anybody else around them. And they found a certain measure of peace together. And the entire time, she's just saying, like, this, like, my friend found me, my friend helped me. And we have this side story with Neelix about how Neelix tries to basically take care of Kes and help her relax. And, like because every once in a while, something will explode. And she gets really, you know, she's really just adamant and she's touchy. And, like, a console will explode if she's around her. And so Neelix kind of helps calm her and with going for meditation with Tuvok. So we get the Dice Tuvok moments. Neelix realizes that he's still in love with her. And,
oh,
you know,
really?
Try, you know, yes, really. No, quiet.
I'm just thinking, oh man, how soap opera-ish, but okay.
I know. Shut up. I knew you were going to diss the Neelix thing, but I don't care. I like
okay.
it.
Okay. I'm not saying I dislike it.
You can talk about it afterwards. So Neelix realizes that he's still in love with her. And so he keeps trying to say, man, when this is all done, you know, maybe you and your friend can stay on the ship and we can start back up again. And she keeps saying, like, you know, I'm too old. She just feels like damaged goods. And she's hiding something. And so the entire time they realize that Kes tells them that my friend was taken away to be used by this so-and-so race for their abilities, you know, like, and be used as a weapon. And so Voyager goes and just does the whole gung-ho thing. You know, beats the aliens and finds the person. They beam them aboard. It's a man, and it's a male telepath. And then Kes finally says, "This is my husband, and I want you to meet him." And then that's when Neelix is like, "Oh crap, okay, so that's why she was so distant, you know, and everything like that. And that's why we can never be." And so they help each other out. They're together. They relocate them on another moon so they can just be together, and no one else will bother them. And then Neelix and Kes have a nice little moment, you know, and everybody else has a nice little moment. And so then it moves on and everybody's happy and no one died. So, and so that's my storyline. So what do you guys think about that? What do you like? What do you not like?
I really like that you actually do have the Neelix plot, believe it or not, even though I initially cringed, but the way it would bring everything full circle with that aspect of those two and their dynamic would be really good, actually, because when they broke up in the earlier seasons, it was really like it was very too little too late.
Mm-hmm. It was awkward when they finally did it. They didn't address it very well.
They did no service whatsoever in Fury. It was just they exchanged one line together that was nonsensical, and it just pissed me off.
You could tell, though, they were trying to act like he still had feelings for her, and she was just brushing him off. So, I mean, your idea. I like that because it kind of resolves that whole situation. So, yeah, I like that.
So, that was unfinished business that could have really had some potential there. So, I like it. I really do.
You answered my questions that I had, too. Like, what happened to her? Did she have a family? So, yeah, I like that.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I like that you addressed those things.
Yeah, and I do like that she finds some other weird, whimsical companion who has similar abilities to her that she can be happy and live the rest of her life, however long it might be at this point, with companionship. So we know, she's going to be all right. Life is good for her.
I think that's the main thing. Like, she didn't continue on as a higher being, but we still know that she's not just going off into the distance and not knowing what's going to happen to her. We're like, no, she found a measure of peace. She's in love. She found someone who metaphysically completes her. And Neelix has, you know, she can close the book properly on Kes. And Tuvok realizes that she's not going to destroy herself and throw in a doctor scene. And everybody's happy. Everybody's good.
Yeah. And it's a happy little reunion.
Yeah.
And Voyager can save the day and help her out one more time.
Sure.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Like, they can return the favor of her throwing them forward 10,000 light years.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I think that does it for us. I feel like we got some great storylines from everybody if I can be so bold. And I feel like any one of these ideas would have been 1,000 times better than what we got in Fury.
Unfortunately, yes.
I like seeing Jennifer Lean again, but if it meant, I don't know, I can't say that seeing Jennifer Lean was enough to constitute having Fury in the Star Trek continuum. So,
sorry, not at all.
Yeah, I feel like I would have rather it not happen, but...
Yeah, oh, you know what I was going to say, guys, when we were going around introducing our ideas? I was going to just blatantly say, you know what? Forget this thing. Don't rewrite it. Just don't air it, period.
Yeah. Just don't air it, yeah. That,
I mean, it,
that's
it would have
rewriting.
Been a total yeah. cop-out, but I was almost going to get you with that. But I opted
not to. Well, I never want to say, let's not do an episode, because I'd rather have something than nothing. But, Char, where can we find you on the interwebs?
Well, you can, of course, find me all over Trek.fm, because I'm the managing editor, and I do several things. I've written stuff, and I edit stuff, I publish stuff, blah, blah, blah. Apart from doing the podcast with you guys, sometimes I'm on the Ready Room with Chris Jones and others. And then, of course, you can find me on Twitter, and my handle is OhTheProfanity.
Lori, how about you?
Well, I've done a little writing, too, for Trek FM, so you could find me there. And I'm on Twitter at LoriS68.
As everybody else, you can find me on Trek FM. I guest on a lot of shows, anywhere from Trek News and Views to The Ready Room, and hopefully I'll be on The Orb sometime soon, because I've been aching to talk about Deep Space Nine. And you can find me on Twitter at TheInsaneRobin.
Also, don't forget to take a look at our sponsor, TrekFan.org. Go to that homepage, decode the puzzle, and unlock your way to a Star Trek fan club that's not just a fan club. You're going to solve puzzles and work with other fans and actually work your way toward living the future that we want to see that is Star Trek.
Well, that does it for this week. I'm excited about next week because even though we got some negative reaction when I said that I wanted to rekindle the pseudo-childlike love between Kes and Neelix, next week we're doing a character analysis, and guess who's next? That's right, Neelix himself. Woo! We're going to talk about his rainbow jumpsuits, his freaky lizard hair, and his abhorred cooking. We're going to talk about it ad nauseum. So, tune in next week. Until then, this has been To the Journey.
To the Journey!